Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, AfterBuzzers and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina fans. We are so excited to bring to you part 3 and final recap episode. We are going to be talking about social undertones and the final crazy episode. You won't want to miss this breakdown, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Mom. We had to play this song. This is Veronica's choice because obviously we just got the teaser for season 2.
Yay!
We've all been awaiting this to make sure it's actually getting renewed for season 2. And it is, which we're all excited.
What perfect timing, though, that the teaser dropped, like, over the weekend and just in time for the show.
Of course. It's like they did
they
on
knew.
Purpose or something.
They knew.
Well, I'd like to introduce our lovely panel to my left, all the way on the end. We've got Ollie Drennan. What's going on?
Awesome. I'm super excited to be here with you guys. I love y'all, and it's good to be back. Totally.
Yes, we missed you last week.
But you guys did an amazing job.
Thanks.
You killed it, obviously.
You were missed. And then we've got Veronica Valencia, and she is our comic book expert. She knows all of the fun little Easter eggs that they've been putting in the show that are in the comics.
Definitely. I also just want to give a shout out to Ollie because he too has read the comic.
But you're the comic queen.
But I'm the comic queen. So I will take the title.
And then we've got Zia Anderson, who I would like to say you always bring the Harry Potter tones to it. Whenever there's a Harry Potter theme, you're always bringing it out, and I love that so much.
Thank you. I can't help it. I just, anything that correlates with Harry Potter, I'm like, ooh, there's a Harry Potter reference there.
Especially because there's witches, you know?
Yeah, that's
gotta have
one.
Some sort of thing. And then, guys, I'm Allie Nasta here, and I can't wait to break this one down for you. Part 3, we're talking about the social undertones in the final episode, and then also we've got some fun Easter eggs towards the end, and we're going to go over some news and gossip. So make sure you stick around and join us in the live chat because we love hearing your thoughts and seeing what you guys have to say because there's just always so much that goes down in every single one of these jam-packed episodes. Mm-hmm. Let's start it off with the social undertones that Sabrina clearly makes very apparent throughout the entire series, which is always about women empowerment, and she really, really hones in on, you know, how the Dark One, why do they have to be in his control? Why does he need to have power over their lives? And this was brought up, I feel like, a huge part in her signing her name in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you guys, did you guys notice that immediately, or was it something that, because I know for me, it was like the first thing that popped in my head and was like, wait a second, that's kind of what they're trying to get at here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely there's like that reoccurring theme of like a woman trying to go against the man. The man's kind of like has his overpowering abundance to him, and how she basically, Sabrina and all women deserve their free will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what she's basically fighting for this entire time, and like we're seeing her constantly go through that instance where she's just being like questioned, and I can understand why she is rebelling, and sometimes we're just like, Sabrina, what are you doing? And like, she just wants to make her own decisions, and she deserves to.
Totally.
A lot of what I really love about this too is that she never is a victim in any of this. I like that. If you're gonna, I'm gonna try to put this very delicately, if you're going to let people walk all over you, people are going to walk all over you.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of doesn't matter what your gender is or what, you know, your, any of that. It doesn't matter. If you're kind of allow that to happen to yourself, I really appreciate how strong of a character she is.
Mm-hmm.
And she is questioning things, and she is standing up for her friends, and she's standing up for people that are close to her, and she's standing up for herself. And that's
mm-hmm.
such a big thing because people can't walk all over you unless you let them. And I feel like it's just such a good thing to lift yourself up a little bit more. And I appreciated the way they did that in the show.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said there. It's so true, Zia. And I think that it's something that it kept reminding me like of comparisons in real life and making you realize, oh my gosh, this is a thing that people go through every day. And it wasn't just her having to sign her name away and kind of realize like, oh my gosh, I'm about to have someone have total control over my life and my decisions. My life isn't my own anymore. And that was just really kind of hit home, and it made me kind of realize like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of times where you kind of realize certain instances and certain things you don't have control over. And it was nice that they kind of put that on the forefront of Sabrina's character and really trying to show that she's going to continue to drive forward, figure this out. And we kind of see her do that exactly with the Wicca program, because she's trying to protect her friends and women from harassment. And just it was just like when they were trying to figure out how they can go about reading books that they should be able to read. And I just thought it was really great that they kept tying things back. It's not like they brought up this social undertone and decided to just plop it in there but not really let it fester throughout the season. And I think they did a really great job of intertwining it with all the characters.
I was going to say, piggybacking off of what you're saying, Allie, I really appreciate how the writers intertwined these social undertones in the actual show. It never felt so on the nose and in a sense preachy. It felt like you're able to get what they're trying to explain, what they are saying, in a way that ties in so well with the overall story.
Yeah, it wasn't like you were confused. It's not like it was too much in your face. It was just that this is a fact. This is something that's happening not only in the witch world, but it's also happening in the human world. Mm-hmm. And they're just showing you how Sabrina's going to try to figure out how to become on top. And unfortunately, we'll get towards the end of the episode later. There's other things that are out of her control, like freaking Madam Satan, you know, manipulating things along the way. But Sabrina doesn't, because she doesn't know that's exactly what's happening, I think it's just such a great thing to see her constantly do this. And she does it again, not only to support the Wicca, but to do it with Susie's identity and making sure that all these comments about her gender don't need to be what they are. And it doesn't need to be this whole stigma that all of the people in her school are making it out to be.
Yeah.
And I also, what I really love about that too, is how they come together. Because, you know, saying what I was going off of what I was previously saying, you know, don't let yourself be victim-centered for yourself is all fine to say, but when it's many against one, it's a lot harder to do that.
Yeah.
But when you come together and you're many against, you know, whoever else there is, it's just all about supporting each other. And I really love that they had that there too.
Yeah, their friend group was so important. And the Wiccan, it was Wicca or Wiccan?
I forget. Wicca.
Like, that support group is so essential, and it's also nice to see such a great male character, Harvey, be so supportive of Susie as well.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating as a viewer seeing, just, like, because Susie doesn't follow social norms of her gender identity, everyone is so nasty towards her. And even in this world, we see, which doesn't even have a time frame, mind you.
Yeah.
Which is, like, also really refreshing, because I've never seen a show do something like that. But I love seeing how supportive that Sabrina and her friends are of Susie. And I'm really interested in seeing where they're going to... Because there's so much more for Susie's character to tell. So I'm really excited to see where they're going to go with that.
Going off of that, something else that I'm really interested in with this is that we obviously know Sabrina is going to stand up for her friends. But I actually really like how she also stands up for her enemies, especially with Prudence and like the Feast of Feasts. Because in media, you can sometimes fall into seeing like women against women. And I like the fact that even though Prudence was, in a sense, being a bully to Sabrina, Sabrina was like, I'm still going to help you out because this tradition is bogus and you should not feel like you have to give up your life for this. Mm-hmm. And I like that she didn't let their past kind of determine how she felt towards her in the future.
100%.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really kind of enjoyed that they had that sort of rivalry and they showed that, because that is something that goes on. You're right. Women can be horrible to each other.
Yeah.
And I'll never really understand it, because it's like you should be being better to each other. And that's something that you definitely see. And I like that they kind of showed that in there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just say that one gender or the other is the aggressor in every situation. It's just people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it was good to show exactly what they did with Prudence and knowing that she was being a little bit manipulated and not knowing mm-hmm. the truth of what was actually going on there. And I think that's just Sabrina's character, is to tell the truth and make sure justice is there and make sure that no one's falling under, like, any curses or whatever they may have. And I thought, I mean, obviously Sabrina always does a great job of bringing that to the forefront.
Her heart's always in the right place.
And that's what's so aggravating, I think, sometimes, is because it is in the right place, and then you see her not understand what's going on, and that is what I think frustrates me the most. Does anybody else get frustrated by that?
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. And I actually want to bring up something, too, because last week we did mention how Sabrina can be frustrating at times because her heart is in the good place, mm-hmm. and we want her to succeed, but at the same time, she kind of doesn't, she has no regards for the complications or any of the bad stuff that can happen. And I'm glad that we weren't the only ones who were really thinking that. I feel like going through Twitter and even some of our YouTube comments, I felt people were on the same page of like, yes, Sabrina is a really great, powerful witch, but she still doesn't have much of an idea of witch culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I know we talked about last time, but she grew up in a house full of witches.
Yeah, exactly.
How?
And it is interesting, too, because they kind of start off the show showing that she does use a little bit of magic.
Yeah.
But that's the beginning. And then towards the end of the season, it's almost like she relearned a new type of magic. And it wasn't just, let me turn on the lights, let me turn on the music kind of thing. And I think that was just kind of, it is weird because it's almost like they took away what we thought we knew and then made it something completely different.
To me, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, to me, it kind of is reminiscent of like religion. Like, I respect everyone's religious belief, but kind of like the dark sides of religion, maybe, possibly like mm-hmm. Sheltering Sabrina in a sense in order for her to not rebel. And I think like this is an instance where you do see like certain religious, like harmful religious practices that can be detrimental to a youth. So I feel like she's finally seeing the dark sides of being a witch and this religion. And so I think that's kind of where I kind of took, mm-hmm. that was my interpretation of it a little bit. I don't know if you guys agree.
No, I think, I think after hearing what you were saying and also kind of, I think we discussed that too and hearing that, it makes more sense now when you explain mm-hmm. it like that, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, I definitely agree that it definitely coincides with religion, or it has a lot of parallels to religion, but also a little bit to cults, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yes.
Just with what's the word I'm looking for? Intensity of it?
Yeah.
And the way that it turns into kind of a witch hunt when she won't sign her name in the
yeah.
Book of the Beast. And they literally chase her to her home because she's not doing what's expected of her.
Yeah.
I feel like that's also kind of a similar cult-like mentality.
No, totally. Absolutely.
Which leads us into talking about the ending of the season and how this whole season we're built up to think that Sabrina is finally going to escape this book. She's not going to exactly sign it. I know we've all kind of had thoughts that half of us were like, oh, I didn't think she was going to sign it. The other half thought that she was going to sign it. But as soon as she wrote her name in that book, I just felt like there is something that is extremely terrible that's going to happen. And she had to finally choose which path she was going to take.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird to me because I wonder, and I want to ask you guys the same thing. Do you feel like she has a choice still? Even though she signed her name in the book, do you feel like there's some sort of choice that she has within the power within her that she can maybe defeat the Dark Lord?
Maybe. I'm also wondering if that's part of why she did it. She signed her name in the Book of the Beast to get these powers in order to vanquish him.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to use that word.
To unlock her full potential.
Yeah, to unlock her full potential. Exactly. To kind of give her the powers to bring him down, because mm-hmm. she feels like if she doesn't have that, it's going to be a lot harder. So maybe
yeah.
if she gets closer to him, she can outsmart him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was her thought process behind that, or if it was literally just to save her friends.
I feel like she's definitely still going to have a choice, because I feel by unlocking her destiny and by being more of a witch now and embracing more of her witch side, she's going to have all these newfound abilities to mm-hmm. work with. And if she was being rebellious when she was more
in like in tune with her humanity, I can't imagine what she's gonna be like when she's a witch, you know?
Uh-huh. It's funny. This totally reminds me of like, okay, this makes sense. I'm bringing this up because it totally ties into the conversation. Have you seen the Aquaman trailer of like, oh, he's from both like worlds, human world and the Atlantis. And so like Sabrina's from both worlds, and it's like, this is the reason why you can lead, because you're from both worlds. So like, so maybe her being also half human is what's going to unlock her full potential or have that advantage over the Dark Lord. And I also like, this is kind of jumping back to what we talked about the cult. From the chat room, Maddie Fernandez says, also, did anyone get any neo-Nazi vibes from Father Blackwood's boys, like when Luke took Ambrose and they said, Hail Satan? So that's another kind of social undertone of the cult and kind of men following men and not being really necessarily supportive of anyone other than a man. So that's something that shout out to you.
Yeah, and Father Blackwood, and he is just a cooked up individual in himself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he is an entirely different species of witches. I don't even know what to expect from him. And I get so confused every time because I never know what side he's on. I believe he has his own agenda, and I think we've kind of seen that. And obviously we see that with the cult like mentality with the whole group of guys, but then you kind of have this small inkling that he's working for the Dark Lord. So I don't really understand where he lies right now, besides just wanting control. And obviously we see that with having a son, which he thinks is the firstborn. And I think this is going to add a lot of difficulties. Yeah. A lot of difficulties.
I was going to say, kind of backing off of what you're saying, Allie, is does he want a son for the sake of, you know, having a child and being able to be a parent, or does he want a son just to further his own agenda?
Well, it seems that he just wants one to further his own agenda, because he clearly has all of these daughters around that he has never claimed, and he hasn't ever said he's treated them, I'm using air quotes right now, he's treated them like family, but he never outwardly spoke about them being his children, which is very much a slap in the face to those that he did take in, and them thinking that he was just being a father figure, let alone was their father.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Can you imagine someone like Prudence, who grew up thinking she didn't have a father, all the while being raised by someone who's her actual father but never told her? I feel like there's definitely some reasons. I would like to see a little bit more of her backstory, because I feel like there's reasons that she is the way that she is. I feel like you never become that much of a bully or that type of a person unless you've gone through some traumas or some issues in your past yourself.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, we kind of get this term thrown around that they always call the Weir sisters orphans. And so I would really like to, maybe in season 2, like you were saying, Zia, get more of Prudence's backstory. See who raised her and at what age did she come to the academy? Because kind of going back to the harrowing episode, we see varying ages of all these children who were at the academy. So I'm kind of wondering at what age is there an age where you enter the academy?
Yeah.
I'm just really curious about that.
Really?
There's a really good theory in chat that I just saw, and I was like, I don't... Yeah,
tell us.
So Maddie Fernandez says... You're just on it, Maddie. Yes, Nick could definitely be the Dark Lord, because they used to call the devil Old Scratch.
Scratch.
What if he is?
Oh my gosh. That would be wild. I don't know how I feel about that, though, because I kind of
like him, right?
But I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Now I'm like, I don't like Nick. I don't like him at all.
Damn.
Man, Maddie, you got our brains twisted on that one. I have no idea. But you know what? I am so appreciative of you and of all of you guys in the chat. And I just want to say, we thank all of you AfterBuzzers all of the time. And we want to let you know where you can find other after shows if you're interested in ones like ours.
Yeah, definitely, AfterBuzzers. Did you know that our network produces aftershows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows? From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no other network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about notifications, don't be, because they're optional, so you can click them right off. So hit that subscribe button now for this aftershow, and be sure to check out our other AfterBuzz Buzz YouTube channel as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll give you shout-outs. We love giving shout-outs. We love seeing you guys commenting and discussing along with us. So please let us know you subscribed. We would love to give you a shout-out. And so for right now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
And thank you for listening on iTunes Podcast. And if you are, give us a 5 stars and let us know what you think in the comments and give us some great reviews, because we love you and we are so thankful, because we wouldn't be here and be super fans of this show if it wasn't for you guys listening and having fun with us. It's so great to be able to talk about one of our favorite shows.
And they give us such great theories.
Yes, like yes. That. Maddie Fernandez, you are amazing.
Which I also just have to point out, too, just really quickly, yeah. TGS was the one that originally said, too, so I think that Nick is the Dark Lord. And then Maddie responded with that. So
now I don't like him. I don't like him at all. But it could kind of make sense, which leads us into the fact that he was able to get her away from Harvey in a sense that she is now... She just wants to protect him so much that she's stepping away, which is what he kind of initially, you could tell his wheels were turning, and that's what he wanted, and he kind of got it.
Would this make, okay, Allie, would this make you like him a little bit more, but probably not? So some of our fans are suggesting that maybe Nick is the Dark Lord, but what if he's not necessarily the Dark Lord? What if he is just attached to the Dark Lord? For example, like maybe he created him and like with clay and, you know, something like that.
But he's not
exactly the Dark Lord. He doesn't really have a mind.
I still wouldn't like him only because the reason I like Nick is because even though he has his evil demons about him, like as all these witches kind of do, you can tell, there's something good within him. And I think that he finds the good within Sabrina. And I think that's why he's attracted to her. And I think that's why he's drawn to her, because all the other witches, they kind of, from what we've seen, don't really have a good side. And Prudence has shown us just a small taste of that. But I think Nick really likes that, and it brings out the good in him.
I feel like it also, going off of what you're saying, brings out the humanity in him, because he does mention that he's very jealous of the fact that Sabrina can be in love that mm-hmm. way and give herself fully to somebody else like that.
Yeah.
He said for witches it's not the same, it's more just lust. Like they show in the orgy scene, it's more physical. They just kind of, they're not really attached to anyone. He's willing to share her. There's no sort of like, you know, attachments or relationships with one particular person. They don't seem to practice monogamy in any sort of way, or they do, I guess it's more of a newer idea, but it still sort of goes back to like the polyamory and just kind of free love. And I think that he maybe sees in her that he could have something, a security and a love and like an actual connection with someone that maybe he didn't think he could get in the witch world.
Well, right. Also kind of going off of what you said, Ollie, about Harvey being very supportive of all the women in his life, Nick is very also supportive of Sabrina. Granted, I know we talked about that it can be very frustrating how she kind of just goes off and does her own thing, but it seems like Nick is very supportive of her being a half-human and being a witch. You know, he doesn't torment her the way that Prudence and everyone else does.
But I think it's because he knows something. He knows something that is going to help him. And I think that that's something that I'm holding on to a little bit, is that I think that he knows what Sabrina is, her potential is, and he knows he can use that to his advantage, and that's why he's helping her figure out history behind her dad and get, you know, get more information on that. Like, I feel like he might be even using Sabrina as a pawn, which goes back on some of my thoughts and theories in parts 1 and 2, but now that we're all putting this together,
I know.
Maybe she is kind of a pawn in his game. And now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with Harvey and Sabrina. He's kind of in there. And now she's basically one of the weird sisters. That's how we ended the season.
I know. And it makes me kind of sad, because I thought Nick was so genuine.
But I don't know if he... I definitely, now that we're, like, putting all these pieces together, I'm not sure if he is at all. I think he... It's like she's a pawn.
Like, we're basically Sabrina right now, because, like, we're seeing all these things that we don't know, like, the full extent. So it's like, we're a part of the story now. It's amazing.
So
meta.
We're naively going into situations being like, no, he's a great guy. And then little do we know.
Wait a second. I just had another epiphany. So now that she's joining, Sabrina's joining the Weird Sisters, right? And she's, you know, acting all
weird.
They're holding
bad
pinkies
to the bone with them. They're holding pinkies. Do you think maybe this is a part of her game to get the Dark Lord on her side to get what she wants and get her advantage and leg up on whatever her plan may be?
So basically fake it to make it?
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah. and maybe, you know, just kind of be in with them because she realizes that she can't win without them.
Can't beat them without them?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a really good point. And then she gets closer to everything that's going on. Yeah. She gets closer to Father Blackwood. She gets closer to finding out what his motives are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer, maybe she's taking that sort of a tactic.
Which I think it really does need to happen because I feel like we spent so much time in the mortal world. We need to delve in more, so much more, into the past and present of the witch world. So.
Yeah.
It's really important that she does do this.
If that's the case, though, then I'm going to be very interested to see how season two pans out because we're obviously going to see more of her witch side, but I feel like it's going to be a huge test for Sabrina because I feel like she still has that humanity where she may not want to partake in some of these witch traditions that, like, she didn't want to in the first season. So I'm very curious to see how her character evolves or reacts to things that she, in her human side, might be against. But she has to play the part now, so I'm very curious.
Yeah, that's a great point. She's going to want to stand up to injustices, but can she? Will she be able to while being in that situation? Oh, man.
And also something that we know is going to happen, but we don't know when, is the fact that Madame Satan, we're going to find out who she is sooner or later. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. And I'm just wondering, how long is it going to be? Another season? Is it going to be a couple more episodes until Sabrina finds out, oh my gosh, I've been a pawn in her games this entire time? And that's not going to end well.
I'm very curious on how Madame Satan's role is going to change now that Sabrina is a witch. Like, is she still going to show up at the academy and be this, like, quote-unquote mentor?
True.
I think that she's going to be there to further, because it seems like her and Father Blackwood, while they're both working for Satan, are both also working for their own individual end goals. And I think that she's going to be there to kind of counteract what Father Blackwood's doing. Like, she's going to be there to keep an eye and make sure that he's not just running away with Sabrina and doing whatever he wants to do. Because she's still trying to become Satan's, what is, like, the queen?
Like, sit beside him on the throne.
Yeah, sit beside him on the throne. Yeah. Exactly. So she's still trying to do that while Father Blackwood is... Actually, we still don't know what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so frustrating. I want
to
know.
Well, there has to be a bad guy in each world, so...
Yeah, true.
Michelle Gomez is just killing it. And I don't want her to die because she's...
I was going
to
say, is she technically in the human world? Technically?
For now.
For now.
For now.
Yeah. You're right.
Someone who's kind of tasting a little bit of human world and witch world but doesn't know it is Hilda. And she, her boyfriend is not human.
Dr. Cerberus. That's his name, right?
Yes.
I think this is a prediction. Are we doing predictions? I don't know. I think his name is Cerberus, so he's got to be like a werewolf or something.
Yeah.
There's something
definitely fishy with him. He's not normal whatsoever, and I feel like he knows exactly what she is, and that's why he's getting close to her, because he needs her for some reason.
Yeah.
And Hilda's just kind of sweet and innocent and has never been loved before and is just really looking for that exception, like being accepted, because she even isn't a little bit accepted in her family. You know, she's looking for that extra thing, so that she's a little bit vulnerable right now, which we all know in shows and movies, when you're vulnerable, that's when the enemies attack. And so this guy, I think, is something that unfortunately is going to be bad for Hilda and bad for her getting anywhere back into the witch world.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I love Hilda.
I love her too.
She doesn't deserve all this stuff.
She only helps people.
Zelda's amazing and everything, but she's so abusive to her sister.
She's so abusive.
She kills her sister.
But the craziest relationship, though, because of how upset she got when she thought that she might not come back. Like, I mean, she was a mess. She was crying tears when she realized that she might have lost her sister forever. So she has this weird relationship with her where she wants to abuse her, and then when she realizes that she might actually lose her, she's devastated. So it's like, why are you still treating her that way?
Do we also have any idea why they both sleep in the same room?
No. That's the weirdest thing. They have a huge house. And then you're telling me there's not four bedrooms for all of them? Sabrina's got this, like, big, nice bed. They live in twin-sized beds. That's a good question.
And it's like, if you are so irritated by each other, why sleep next to each other?
Right? Well, something that's interesting to me is Zelda always is... She's the powerful one, right? She's the rule maker. She's kind of like the patriarch of the house, right?
Yeah.
But what's so interesting is she's the one that makes the most daring mistakes and just accepts to be forgiven sometimes, when Hilda, I feel like, has to walk on eggshells. Like, Zelda freaking stole a baby. Not only just a baby, mm-hmm. Father Blackwood's baby.
Yep. I'm really curious on how long that's going to be able to stay a secret.
Seriously. And she's just going to raise this baby and either keep it locked in a house where it can never go anywhere to keep it a secret, or be like, oh, we just have this baby. Where'd it come from? I don't know.
Right. Which also makes me interested on how witches age. I don't really quite get it. And mm-hmm. I think that's, like, I've always, like, wondered that. Because, like, obviously, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which is something, a show that I was a fan of, they didn't really talk about it too much. And I feel like they talk about it in this show being like, oh, we don't age. But it's like, what age do you stop aging at?
Like, because when does Sabrina age?
Yeah, like when does she start aging? And it's just confusing because like Zelda and Hilda are what, in their like mid-30s, 40s or whatever. So when do you stop aging? Is there a stage where you just kind of don't get older? Because I feel like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, why am I...
Ambrose?
Yeah, Ambrose.
He looks really young.
Yeah, he looks young, and I feel like he's not going to age anymore.
And they just mentioned that he has... I know that there was a specific amount of years that he mentioned being alive for. Or not being alive for, but mentioned something in the past. It was a lot of years. It was like hundreds of years. I'm wondering if they maybe just age very, very slowly. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. They just age very slowly. But yes, to your point, Allie, do they ever get to the point where they're very old? Like, what?
I guess my reasoning behind asking this question is because it's like this baby. Is this baby gonna, does it accelerate in time and then stop? Or does it, like, you know what I mean? Because then if the baby grows faster, they can kind of, you know, at least have it and be like, oh, it was, I don't know. I don't know how it all works, but I just am very curious to see if that's gonna play a part. If they're gonna be able to, like, speed up the age or whatever to be able to make it different. So then Father Blackwood would never know that this is actually their baby. I don't know. That could be me totally.
No, that's definitely a possibility. It's one of those shows that we have no idea. They could do anything.
Really, though. So many possibilities.
Endless.
I think before we get into some news and gossip, we need to get into some predictions that we think is going to happen in season 2. Because we're having one now. And we're now, very sure.
You're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Okay, so, Veronica, you had a couple that you wrote down here, and I would love to...
What did I write down?
Some predictions of what you think's going to happen.
Specifically, what did I write down?
So, one of them was, do you guys
I wrote
think,
that a while ago.
Do you think that Ambrose's love interest is conspiring with Father Blackwood?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Yeah. No, I kind of think so, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, now that kind of sparked a new prediction in my mind. I don't know if I had it wrote down there. So in the very beginning, Sabrina mentions that her parents, or no, not Sabrina, Zelda mentions that her parents, Sabrina's parents, died on a way to a conference or like a meeting at the Vatican. Mm-hmm. We know that Ambrose is on house arrest for attempting to blow up the Vatican. I am wondering if those two incidents are related.
Oh, that's a great point. I feel like we talked about this. You mentioned this in the... in the comic books, but I just don't think they're actually dead. I feel like there's no answers, and no one's giving her a solidified answer whenever it happens. And they all have small clues here and there. But I think they're going to find out sooner rather than later that, like, her parents are somehow out there. Mm. And her mom had to escape in order to live. Mm-hmm. Because clearly I think you talked about this, how her dad basically needed a human in order to make this kind of, like, powerful being, which is mm-hmm. Sabrina. So I think that's something that I would play a
so
real
he
role.
Was using her mother.
Yeah, that's what I think.
He might have, like I said, in the comics, he, and Ollie, you can chime in on this, he may have very well loved Diana, but there was also a point where he needed to have a baby and his aunt and like his sisters and all the women needed to get involved because for some reason he just couldn't like have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the comics, okay, well, if their parents are still alive, well... Did you mention when the mom's still alive? Oh my god! Okay.
I didn't get too spoilery. I did mention that Diana is still alive, but I didn't get too spoilery as to like what's going on with her in the comic.
I don't know what to say now. Oh, crap!
Get spoilery. Okay. Do it.
Yeah.
What I think is going to happen in the show, I think at least one of the parents is still alive.
Yes,
it's got to be one of the parents because I feel like Sabrina. I think that person is going to be key in her finding out what really happened to her parents for sure. Absolutely. I think Ambrose is definitely going to have some kind of arc where he has to figure out should he help Sabrina or because he's like, I feel like he really does love Luke and he doesn't really have like a group that he can like call his own because he's always on house arrest. So I think he's going to be torn between Sabrina and his own family and this new family that he's found.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like I don't know. What do you think?
I just want to make a statement that if it does turn out that Luke is using Ambrose and that this Dr. Cerberus is using Hilda and Nick is using Sabrina, I'm just so mad. Like, why can't people just be in happy relationships?
Because they're going to find other better people. Oh, go ahead, Ollie.
I think Sabrina is going to just delve headfirst into the witch world because Roz and Harvey are going to get together.
What?
Yeah. We did see a little something violent teaser.
And we can watch that teaser, but what do you guys think?
My God. Okay, I thought that Sabrina was definitely going to dabble in some Nick Scratch for a little bit.
Yeah,
just see that happening. But I ultimately ended up seeing her getting back together with Harvey. But I don't think I could see Harvey and Roz together. And how could Roz do that to Sabrina?
It's very funny because in the show, Roz is a very supportive friend that you would think never would go after someone mm-hmm. else's boyfriend. But in the comics, Roz actually comes across before Sabrina and is like, don't go near yeah. Harvey. I want him.
Wow. Yeah.
It's really weird when I first watched.
Interesting.
And also, like, Roz is in a very vulnerable position at this moment with her losing her sight. Didn't she have like a month left of her sight or something like that? A couple months?
Something like that.
It was deteriorating quickly.
And obviously, you know, Sabrina's finally signed her name in. She has a lot to work on with the witch world. So I feel like she is going to become like disconnected from her human friend group.
Yeah.
And I think Harvey, he lost his brother. So maybe those two are going to get together, you know.
That'll be so interesting.
Oh, my God.
You wrote something down here that's making me think that I think Luke is the one that killed Kemper, is his name. I think that he did kill him, and he is getting in with Ambrose because he needs something else to continue to, like, kill witches or whatever. Like, he might be a warlock, but he has something else, another agenda. Because there's something weird about him besides just Father Blackwood. Like, I think he's getting to Ambrose to get to Blackwood and Black... Like, they're kind of all working together because he's got his own agenda. So I don't know what it is, but...
So everyone has their own agenda.
Yeah, that's basically what we're saying.
Good point. It does seem that way.
Yeah. Well, at this point, it is kind of like everybody's got their own agenda going on because you don't know what Zelda's up to. Hilda's kind of just wants to fall in love. Sabrina's trying to take down the Dark Lord without anybody knowing about it. Harvey's just sad. You know,
Wardwell. She's playing everyone.
Everybody's just in their own their own type of world, and it's so interesting, and I cannot wait to see what season 2 has to bring for us. So let's get into some news and gossip and talk about some premiere dates and exciting Easter eggs. Okay, guys, so April 5th is when season 2 is going to be released on Netflix, so we only are just, you know, a half a year away. We're close. We're very close. And then December 14th is The Midwinter's Tale, which we will be covering here at AfterBuzz, so make sure you stay tuned for a release date on that. But December 14th, was that next week?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It is.
It's here already.
I believe so, right? Right?
Yes.
Right,
yeah. December just flew by. flew by. And then I would love for Veronica to take away some Easter eggs that you have.
So The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina definitely had a lot of Easter eggs, and so we're going to go through some of these pictures real quick to give you, the fans, some visuals. So our first Easter egg is, I don't know if any of you noticed, but Harvey is definitely, like, vibing some Johnny Depp in Nightmare of Elm Street. He's definitely wearing the same type of attire. And so, and then moving on to our next Easter egg. Now, this one I didn't notice, and just as a note, I feel like I didn't notice a lot of these. I did have to look some of them up because I'm not paying, like, when you're so in the zone with the show, you're not necessarily paying attention. But if you did notice some of these, let us know in the comments,
please,
what you noticed. Like, bring us your hate game. But yeah, this is one of Luke, and if you look very closely, Luke is holding the Afterlife with Archie comic, which is a sibling comic to The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, written by the exact same creator. So that's a little fun Easter egg in there. Going on to our next image, this is a nod. Now, Sabrina had a lot of nods to old horror movies. This one was a nod to The Exorcist. It's like they're arriving to perform the exorcism with the glow coming from the house, and when the priest arrives to perform the exorcism in that movie, it's the lamp and the glow coming from the lamp in the house. So it's kind of like a nice little image there. The next one, we have our little vintage Archie cup. This one completely went over my head, but I think it's a cool thing for people who did notice to get some, like, old school retro Archie in the music and all that stuff. It's very fun. Honestly, I would want one.
Also, I do too. And also, can we just look at Roz for a second? She's totally mean mugging Sabrina. Obviously, this is just the way the screenshot was taken, but you know she wants Harvey, guys.
Going on to one of our next Easter eggs, Sabrina, when she is with the Weird Sister, she always dresses in the same kind of ensemble as they are, but hers is red, and it's very much reminiscent to what Mia Farrow wears in Rosemary Baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's a very fun one there. The next one, I haven't seen this movie, but apparently they just came out with a new one too, Suspiria. Yeah. They share the same roof. Which I didn't notice again, but it's very nice to know that that was a really cool connection. Again, another nod to, like, another horror movie. And then this one, this next one, I really enjoy if any of you are musical theater buffs. They have a little Venus flytrap from also reminiscent of Little Shop of Horrors. Very hidden, very quick. You wouldn't even notice, but I'm glad it was in there just to add to, like, the vibes. And then finally, the last picture, well, before we get to this last picture, I want to just bring up some other ones. When Sabrina is in the choir, she is singing a song called I'll Never Say Never to Always, which was written by cult, or was sung by cult leader Charles Manson.
Ooh.
So getting a little real life dark there.
Wow.
And then there's, of course, there's nods to Riverdale with Archie going to another funeral home in Riverdale from a bowling championship poster on the wall. And Miss Wardwell's story of what she's trying to explain to, like, cover her own butt, basically being like, oh, Edward wanted me to protect you when I was falling in love with him, is kind of similar to the comic, because in the comic, Miss Wardwell, a.k.a. Madame Satan, was in love with Edward. And so finally on this last picture is Ben Button. Now for any of you who watch Riverdale, Ben Button is a character in Riverdale. And the reason why this one is so mind-boggling, because to your point, Ollie, you were just saying that the show doesn't really have a timeline. And I feel like this completely, if there was one, this completely is confusing, because I'm not going to get too spoilery, but if you're watching the current season of Riverdale, you would know it's very unlikely that Ben should be in this show right now. But if this took place, if Sabrina was taking place a few years before Riverdale, it's possible. But at the same time, was it just me or did you guys think that she ate him? I felt like she ate him.
I thought she ate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, so again, that's like, why should he be there?
Right. Because she said, I'm very hungry, but she was not looking at the
pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true. Man, Veronica, that was amazing. I so appreciate you for bringing this to us.
Thank you.
And it just makes you realize, too, how intricate the research process goes into writing these storylines and making sure they're tying homages to kind of everything. And it's just things you don't even think of. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, we watch the show and you just kind of watch it. You don't realize the extra effort that's put in to kind of put the finishing touches on it.
But it's amazing when you do look back and see all the little fine details. It really just adds more to the show.
It totally does. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Hopefully we'll get a bunch more next season, guys. Before we wrap up, does anybody have any last thoughts or feelings that they want to say or what they're looking forward to in even the Midwinter's Tale episode next week?
I'm really looking forward to that one. A lot of it is because we're not getting a Doctor Who Christmas episode this year. I have to wait till New Year, so at least I have a little something to, you know, give me. Yeah, a little Christmas something. So I'm excited for that a lot.
Last theory, real quick. Heather Maxwell in the chat brought up maybe Nicholas is her twin, Sabrina's twin, because he knows so much of her father.
That would be so crazy.
Please, oh my gosh. Okay, just going back, I feel like...
Don't sleep together.
Sorry. I was going to say that. I feel like Sabrina is getting a little bit like bow chicka wow wow in the next season. Please, oh my gosh, if that's true, don't do it. Oh my gosh.
Like, did anybody watch Shadowhunters?
Yes!
That's like, yes, we don't need another one of those. Even though they didn't end up being siblings, but still creepy. We don't want that to happen.
We don't need any
man
of that.
No. But that could be a good theory. We'll
see.
Just have to wait and see. I guess we will see you soon for December 14th, A Midwinter's Tale next week. Really excited. Ollie, where can they find you on social media?
Hey guys, I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
Veronica.
Hey everyone, Veronica Valencia. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsmeveronica_V.
Zia.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @Zia_land. It's @XIA_land.
And hey guys, Allie Nasty here. Find me on Instagram at Allie Girl. And of course, follow AfterBuzz TV on all social media platforms. We will see you soon. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.